What is the mystique of the horn player? Whatever it is, it was embodied in the extreme by the 1950s cool jazz legend Chet Baker, master of the long line and the pure, airy tone. He was a stunningly handsome, naturally brilliant player and singer with a magnetic bad boy quality, and he's the subject of a Bruce Weber film now restored and re-released. Weber had been obsessed by a particular Chet Baker album during his teenage years.
Let's get lost, lost in each other's arms.
You know, it just sort of carried it with me through boarding school and college and when I first went to NYU film school.
He still had it with him when he ran into Baker in New York in the 80s, and he spent a long time making the dreamy stream of consciousness movie named after the album, Let's Get Lost. Of course, by the time the filmmaker encountered the beautiful jazz legend, Chet Baker was already ravaged by drug addiction.
Do you remember any day that was kind of like the best day of your life?
His face sunken and lined.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe the day I got my Alfa Romeo SS. That was a nice day. I had a lot of fun that day.
And people were still drawn to his music, which stayed frozen in that 50s style. And some were even hopeful he might alter his bad boy life.
It's kind of almost an ego thing that you think, okay, this is one time where that person is really going to turn their life around. You know, they're going to get that house, they're going to take care of themselves, they're going to put up that white picket fence.
Not that any horn player you've ever heard of aspired to a house and a picket fence. That was all part of the mystique. Looking at Let's Get Lost, I couldn't help thinking about Miles Davis, who had his own inner battles. Or cornetist Bix Beiderbecke, who played like an angel and drank himself into an early grave in 1931. And about how the culture has tried to capture these uncapturable outsized lives.
I'm going to do things with this trumpet nobody's ever thought of doing. I'm going to hit a note that nobody ever heard before.
Young Man with a Horn, for example, loosely based on Bix Beiderbecke's life, with Kirk Douglas as a loner whose only real friend was his horn.
Rick, what's the matter with you? Why do you live in left field all the time? Young man with the horn. Crazy young man with the horn.
Living in left field, that's the idea. But when it comes to that level of excess, fiction, oddly, is no match for fact. In The Tame Portrait of a Jazz Trombonist in Martin Ritt's Paris Blues, if you can believe Paul Newman as a hipster trombonist, which isn't easy, you're meant to feel his character Ram Bowen's pain
dressed.
And glory as he tries to spell out the musician's life for
you
his new girlfriend.
Honey, I live music. Morning, noon, a whole night. Everything else is just icing on the cake, you dig?
And right about the time Chet Baker was rising to stardom, on screen was the sensitive bugler played by Monty Clift in From Here to Eternity.
Sir, Private Robert E. Lee Pruitt. According to the company commander as ordered.
The bugle was his salvation, the one thing he knew he could do well. As Bruce Weber's film points out, there was a little of moody Private Robert E. Lee Pruitt in Chet Baker's idea of himself. The fiction may not have gotten it quite right, but it all added to the mystique. The world imagined these brooding horn players were talking through their horns. So maybe they were.
I think there's a vocal quality connecting with your soul through music.
Saxophone player Bob Mover played with Chet Baker and many others over the last 35 years.
Through the kind of mystical act of blowing air through a tube and, you know, pushing your fingers.
Mover has no illusions about those years in the jazz universe, but he believes the romantic cliché was true. At least for Baker.
I think his biggest fun in life was getting high and playing music with musicians he really enjoyed and that kind of thing. He really was simple that way, in a good way.
Bruce Weber felt it too all those years later.
You know when you see, like, when you're walking down the beach and you see a person, like, floating in the ocean, you know? It's like that moment of bliss for them. For Chet, that was his moment of bliss, was to play, you know, at a club, to make a record. No matter how much he complained, no matter how lazy he was, that was his moment.
Which is not to say he wasn't manipulative, unreliable, just about impossible. Everyone seems to agree on that. In the late 50s, the real Chet Baker and the dream of a Chet Baker almost met. Hollywood hired him to play himself in something called All the Fine Young Cannibals. They called the Chet Baker character Chad Bixby. By that time, Baker had been busted and had left the country.
This is how strong my father was.
And actor Robert Wagner played it instead, opposite Natalie Wood. Again, it was about talking through your horn, but literally.
This is love I had for my father and couldn't tell him about.
Was it the horn itself that inspired these flights of fantasy? According to Bob Mover, the mystique had less to do with the horn and more to do with life, jazz, image, and legend.
I think that there's a certain thing like a gunslinger. It's almost like an analogy to cowboys in the American consciousness. There's a similarity of going out on the road with your buddies to do good. You're trying to put some beauty in the world with this music. But I think that that romantic sensibility transcends instrument.
Chet Baker took the reckless life and the cowboy mystique and the romance about as far as it could go, certainly beyond any fiction or biopic, or even any documentary, including Let's Get Lost, which distorts and manipulates the truth with the best of them. By the way, now in development, the Miles Davis story, and yet another movie about the life of Chet Baker. Whatever the mystique is, we want to capture it, and we keep trying. But of course, we always have the music. No pictures necessary. You dig? For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.